Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
With the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. BYU starts the season 1-0 in basketball, and that is exactly how we started in football, Tosh. Do you think that after 11 games, BYU will be 3-8?
No.
Okay, good.
I do not think that.
So, 1-0, and this week brings us a couple of matchups against pretty good teams. Name recognition-wise, maybe not like a massive national team, but two teams that BYU fans should have a lot of respect for. Princeton, the Princeton Tigers.
Both teams we played last year.
From the Ivy League, we got a close home win against Princeton. Now, Princeton lost some of their talent, but they still rank 88th by Ken Pomeroy. BYU is 72nd under Ken Pomeroy. But playing the Princeton Tigers all the way across the country in New Jersey, they will be playing, and at Princeton at Jadwin Gymnasium. This is not easy to say back to back. Jadwin Gymnasium. I can't do it. But Princeton will be the first challenge. But before we get too far down the road, there, Tosh, you had alluded to it last week. Nick Emery officially gone for the season.
Yep.
And will not be playing for BYU this year. He is taking care of personal matters, which is a trend, really, that I don't remember ever happening before in BYU athletics. But did it start with Jamal? Sione Takitaki has done this. Mm-hmm. We thought Francis Bernard was going to do it. It appears he will not be doing this. But Nick Emery, all intentions are to come back. He's just taking a year off from school and everything to get everything straight in his life. So good luck to him and all that. Hurts the basketball team a little bit, but sometimes I guess there are other things more important, Tosh. Could that possibly be?
That can be, yes.
Okay. Well, whatever the case is, no Nick Emery this year. So Zach Selyus becomes a lot more important. What Elijah Bryant has to give you is a lot more important. Maybe most importantly, Jasheer Hardnett has more and more
that
of
guy's
a role
got a big role now
to step in. But a couple things, Tosh, that I wanted to just address with you. So first things first, I once again am keeping track of lineups played by Dave Rose. Dave Rose played 18 different unique lineups against Mississippi Valley State in the opener of the season. But I thought that there's only one main thing that the first group that he played, the starters, was a group of TJ Haas, and he ran the point. Last year they had Elijah Bryant running the point when TJ Haas and Elijah Bryant were on the floor together.
Yeah.
That is not the case this year. TJ Haas is on the ball and he's creating and making plays for them.
And I think that's best for both players. I think Elijah is a lot better at the two. I think TJ, that guy is a playmaker, even if he's not scoring. He's great with the ball in his hand. Keep the guy with the ball in his hand.
And he looked fantastic, obviously, against Mississippi Valley State. I think he went, 10 for 11, Tosh? He missed one shot the entire game.
Elijah
Bryant was really, really very good. And honestly, he makes an enormous difference to what this BYU basketball team can achieve potentially, especially if he can shoot threes. We knew he could drive into the lane and create that way. If he's extended it and really started shooting threes in a significant way, then holy cow, watch out. That's an all-conference level performer, potentially. So the group, TJ Haas, Elijah Bryant, Zach Selyus, Yoli Childs, and Luke Worthington together, they played for just over 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 seconds. They were a plus 14 as a group on the floor. So they took it to the Delta Devils. 9 for 16 from the field, including 3 for 7 from three-point land. So 42.9% from three, Tosh. So that's all very good metrics for the starting group. The second group, so What Dave Rose did is after 5 minutes, he brought in, and he did this in the first and second half. After about 5 minutes, he brought in tandem off the bench, Dalton Nixon and Jashir Hardnett, and would bring them into the game for Luke Worthington and Zach Selyus. So he would play, and this is what I thought was interesting. When Jashir Hardnett's on the floor, Jashir Hardnett is in control of the ball. He is the point guard, and they put TJ Haws off of the ball.
Yeah.
What do you think of that adjustment? I think it's out of utility, right? Jashir Hardnett can't be off the ball. What does he give you if he's off the ball?
I think it's more – that's not an indictment on TJ as much as Hardnett at his size is a one. That guy's not matching up or playing two.
Plus with his skill set.
Exactly. I think he's a great one. Like that, he controls the ball very well. His ball handling is probably the best on the team for that. He doesn't give up steals. He breaks the press. When he's in the game, he should be at the one. TJ's great at the one, but that guy has a skill set that can adapt to the two.
He can do more on the floor than what Jashir Hardnett can do. So that decision just comes out of utility, right? Jashir Hardnett can't play off the ball. He can't be a two. He can't put him at the three. TJ, you can put at the 1, 2, or 3, and he'll be able to make it work, potentially.
Yeah. Yep.
So he can just do more. So Jashir Hardnett at the 1, TJ Haws at the 2, Elijah Bryant playing the 3, so they move him from the 2 to the 3, and then they have Dalton Nixon at the 4 with Yoli at the 5. So this group played 10 minutes and 15 seconds, so just slightly longer, 5 seconds more than the starting group, but they shot the exact same field goal percentage, 9 for 16. And they took one less three-pointer, but were 3 for 6 from three, 50% from three. But here's the big difference, Tosh. So, yes, it's like, oh, they produced kind of at the same clip in terms of shooting. Their plus-minus was just 3. So they only beat Mississippi Valley State by 3 points when they had Jashir Hardnett, TJ Haws, Elijah Bryant, Dalton Nixon, and Yoli Childs in. So the difference between Zach Selyus and Luke Worthington being with those other three and Jashir Hardnett and Dalton Nixon being with the other threes was 11-point difference in almost equal amount of time, and that is purely about defense.
And rebounding. I would think defense and rebounding is what I would think. Yeah, and I don't think it's Hardnett. I think Hardnett plays good defense. I think it's bumping some of those other guys to different positions. I think that TJ can guard the one much better than he can guard the two. I think.
Well, and Selyus is going to be a better. He's just got a lot more length. He's going to rebound maybe a little better than
Bryant.
And
he's a hustler. He was his freshman year. He is this year. That guy. That guy defensively, you can just watch him and he's engaged. He's trying to do stuff defensively at all times.
Right. And Dalton Nixon, just a little bit smaller than Luke Worthington, and then Yoli's got to move up. So I don't know, whatever the case is, it's something worth paying attention to. Frequently, starters are supposed to do better than the second group. Since I've been doing this over the last 2 seasons, that has not always been the case. The starters have not always been the best group. The second group has generally been better than other teams, and part of that could be that BYU starters were equal to the other team's starters, but their second group was better than the other team's second group.
Yes.
The thing, though, here is that BYU starters, at least against Mississippi Valley State, were quite a lot better than Mississippi Valley State's starters. And the second group was only 3 points better than the other team's second groups. So it is something to keep an eye on. Depth could be a problem for this team.
Yes.
I think it's actually going to be, not could be, I think it is going to be a problem for this team. And I worry about their ability to continue to defend and kind of do the things which you know, put a gap between them and their opponent on the scoreboard when they get into their bench a little bit. And that's weird because I like what Jashir Hardnett does. I like what Dalton Nixon brings you. There's some stuff that they do that's nice, and they're clearly the two best guys off the bench, in my opinion.
No doubt.
And so, anyway, so it's something worth paying attention to. How big of a fall off is it for BYU when they bring in that second group? And right now, it appears defensively, it seems to be one, but that's only, of course, through one game of data.
What I like is our defensive effort. We have played nobody good yet. But I feel like we have done defensively to every team that we have played what we should do. And so this game against Princeton, against UT Arlington this week, these games, these these are teams that can beat us. And so I'm really excited to see if our team really can play a team brand of defense like we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think that'll be, you know, gigantic. It's clear that they're going to be able to score. It's BYU. They're always going to be able to score a lot of points. Yoli on the post, it's scary. Yoli shooting threes right now, also scary. But he's doing it. I don't know. We'll have to see.
If he can add that to his game, it'd be huge.
Yes, we'll just have to see. But the point, though, is that, you know, the ability, also free throw line was just, it's kind of not great, Tosh, shooting free throws right now.
That's strange. I mean, because Elijah Bryant went 10 for 11 from the field.
Right.
But only went 1 for 2 from the line. It's like, come on, guys. Make your free throws.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guys that missed a lot of free throws. Luke Worthington missed both of his.
Yep.
And didn't look close. That's the other one. He looks so uncomfortable shooting a free throw.
He looks like a guy that should be able to hit free throws. That guy looks like a whole new man.
Yeah, he does.
Like, it's like, what happened to him? People always joke that people don't realize that missionaries, you know, they can't work out and they don't have the exercise. And it looked like he went to Gold's Gym for 2 years and then he just emerged with this whole new body.
Yeah.
But he still can't make free throws. But well, the guy has played well. I don't want to dog on Worthington because I've been a little bit of a Worthington critic. And so far this year, I think he's going to be a positive contributor.
He's got to be an energy guy for BYU in a big way. The other one is welcome back Zach Seljaas. I mean, do you ever think he's going to miss? If he has an open three and he misses, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
It's awesome to have a player like that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the last guy that we had where it really felt like that.
It was Zach Seljaas.
Well, yeah, I guess.
His freshman year, it felt like that.
It did feel like that. You're right. Tyler Haws had that going for him a little bit, but like not from three-point land.
No. Nope.
And so it's really a lot of fun whenever Zach Seljaas has a little space and he shoots it. And Tosh, he is so smooth. Like, I was watching it in person, and while I was there, I mean, the effortlessness of his shot, it's just pretty. It's just quick, and it's awesome. I love Zach Seljaas. And I think that what he's been able to do for BYU, what he will be able to do in terms of stretching the floor will really help. We didn't see Zach Seljaas play the four at any point. But his freshman year, when he played the four and played kind of a stretch four, mm-hmm. it gave other teams fits.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're saving that for a different look, if we're actually playing chess in that way and kind of not going to show off what a true full-on small ball lineup might be like with, you know, maybe you do like a Hardnett, Haws, Bryant, and Seljaas with Yoli at the five. We haven't seen something like that, but I'm excited for when it's going to happen, Tosh, because it's going to happen and it's going to be
offensively
awesome.
Offensively, it'll be good.
I think it's going to be awesome. All right, so Princeton, listen, you look at Princeton, 88th, according to Ken Pomeroy. We trust Ken Pom. He's pretty good. Playing all the way across the country at Princeton. It's the first road game. No Nick Emery. Lots of inexperience all over.
Princeton played a good team in their first game. They lost to Butler, but it was a close game to a good Butler squad. And so this is going to be a big step up for our players in
competition.
Yeah, we haven't played anyone anywhere near Princeton's level so far.
Including New Mexico.
No, New Mexico was the best team we played, but they're not as good as Princeton.
So... but they did win down in the pit, so going and traveling. But, you know, this thing about going all the way to the East Coast, that's a real thing. It's hard to travel and go all the way out there and be successful. So the Princeton Tigers will be a tough challenge, and I don't know what to fully expect from the game other than foul trouble obviously will loom large. Again, we talked about depth and the problem with depth. If Yoli gets in foul trouble, what on earth are they going to do?
They're in trouble, yeah.
Like, if Yoli gets into foul trouble, like, he's the one guy that can't get in foul trouble. Because, what, then you're...
Worthington and Nixon.
And Dalton, yeah.
And those guys can do it a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe Dastrup.
It just depends. If we play a team that has a legit athletic big man, Yoli's our only guy that's going to be able to slow down an NBA-type big man.
Ways to beat BYU. Let's talk about that. So if you're a Princeton fan, if you're a Texas Arlington fan, just your initial, I mean, it's so early in the season, but your initial impressions about kind of like the nightmare scenario for BYU?
Athletic, long, big men. And especially if they've, if the team's got two of those.
Right.
Like that is, that's our matchup nightmare. I feel like against guards, we're going to be fine, especially with playing Celius at the three. It gives us some length at the guard position. Elijah's long, but I feel like I trust Yoli to be able to match up with athletic big men. Worthington, Nixon, these guys are good, but if we're playing an NBA prospect big man, I see those guys getting eaten alive.
What about guard play? So Princeton's a heavy guard play team. Devin Kennedy, we remember him. He's a super athletic guard. And you know, he's actually, you know, I think he plays over on the wing. They also have Miles Stevens, Amir Bell. Okay. Stevens and Bell both had 20 points. Kennedy at 12. They are very strong on the guard line around the perimeter underneath the basket. Their two big men scored 0 points combined and got one rebound. Their two starters got one rebound between them and no points.
So BYU, I think we want to play guard teams and we are, but that being said, this year's defense has been great so far, but I still have not blocked last year's out of my mind, where when we played teams that passed the ball around, it was inevitable that they were going to get an open three. Like, it was, we gave up more open threes than I feel like any college team I've ever watched.
If that's the case, do you think Heath Schroyer has helped fix some of that? And some of they've put a lot more culture around playing defense.
I like that the players are talking about defense. I like Elijah Bryant after the game said that there's a cockiness to this team about their confidence in defense. That to me is Schroyer being said through the players. I sure as heck hope so, that defensively we're at a different place.
I'm with you. And I think, you know, that's one of Steve Pierce's things. He writes on Vanquish the Foe. He's post-Jimmer on Twitter. Steve Pierce, great mind when it comes to BYU basketball. He always says nothing will ever change for BYU until they start playing defense. And last year, actually, they were okay at defense. They were just really terrible at transition offense. Mm-hmm. And that was the problem. They were a little bit better at defense. But I think he's right, right? Until we really start developing a culture around playing defense and getting that done. One of the things that's really going to hurt BYU defensively is they frequently have leaned on zone. And there's reason why zone is something that, you know, Coach Rose has chosen to play frequently.
Yeah.
Is because if you don't have good defenders, then you can cover up a lot of what they do with zone.
Yep.
The problem is you need length. In order to have an effective zone, you got to have some length. BYU doesn't have enough length to really play a great zone, in my opinion.
At maybe one or two positions. But then there's guys we sub in that length is their biggest weakness. And so...
Right. As soon as there's depth. I guess what I'm saying is if you go off the bench, you could potentially play zone with your top lineup.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go into the bench, I worry about being able to play zone because I worry about how much depth that we're going to have there. Does that make sense?
100%.
So defensively, it'll be interesting to pay attention to if BYU, how long they can play man-to-man. Will at any point Princeton force them to go zone? And there's some reason to maybe do that because you can put more pressure potentially to force them to shoot from the outside. And then because you might feel good about your ability to rebound against, you know, Princeton's big men who did not rebound very well at all.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an idea there where you could use zone. But I think that they're going to try to play this straight up, see if they can play man-to-man the whole game. They have yet to show any zone. Do you think we're going to see any zone defense over the next two games?
Yes. BYU is always going to mix in zone. I mean, I don't think we're athletic enough to man up for a whole game.
Okay, so the Princeton Tigers, three tough guards. You think that's a better matchup for BYU?
Yep.
What do you think about Princeton? Are we going to get by the Tigers?
I think it's a coin flip. You know, like, they're good, and we're traveling to them. They've got, they've got
Bell, Kennedy,
Amir Bell. Yeah, they've got guys that can put up 20 plus points. Who knows? I would not bet on this game. I will be stoked and relieved if we win this game.
If BYU struggles shooting from the outside, Tosh, do we have another solution?
Yeah, we can play Yoli inside, but that's it. And Elijah can drive.
And maybe Dalton.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do little Dalton Nixon.
But Dalton's not going to win a game. He can get us points in moments.
Right.
Yeah, but we can't, like, put – he's not going to put this team on his back and, if we're not making threes.
And we think Yoli's good enough to win you games.
Yes.
I think at this Yoli point, as a sophomore,
on his back.
He's ready to win games for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that'll be interesting. I think that Princeton's going to be a tough one. I think that they're probably not going to get it, Tosh. They're just going across little gym. I don't know. I just feel like it's your first time traveling across the country. A lot of inexperience out there. You know, Yoli might have to be the guy. TJ might have to be the guy. And none of them have had to have the mantle of, like, I've got to make plays in order for us to win. Last year they had Eric Mika to do that. And now they've got to be the people that do that. And so in their first go at it, I worry about them being able to get it. So I'm going to say I'll take a loss here, but it wouldn't surprise me if BYU wins.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair.
Okay. Coming back then, they got to play Texas Arlington. The Broncos gave them all sorts of trouble last year in the NIT. If you recall, Tosh, Kevin Hervey played awesome against BYU's big men. 22 points, 8 rebounds, and was an absolute bowl underneath the basket.
And he's still playing great. I mean, he had 28 points in their season opener. Like, Kevin...
against Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, these guys are...
Kevin Hervey can play. Eric Neal, also very good, effective on the outside. He's a true point guard. Doesn't look to score for himself. Only scored 5 points against BYU last season in our last game of the year. But he had 13 assists against the Cougars last year. And he got it going again for them against LMU. He had 11 assists. So I think they're going to play pick and roll. They're going to be doing a lot of kind of inside-outside type stuff. And they were much more balanced against LMU in terms of, you know, where they got points. They got it from all over the floor, but it all started with Kevin Hervey.
Yeah.
And it's the first problem that you said. I mean, it's going to be the first opportunity for us to see what does BYU do against a load down low.
6'9" athletic guy who averages almost a double-double last year. He had 28 and 8 in his first game this year. Like, that's going to be the matchup to watch this week, I feel like, is can Yoli be able to play big-time basketball against a really talented player in Kevin Hervey?
And the problem is again, with Eric Neal and how he passes the ball, if you cheat off and double-team and Hervey can pass it out, there's a chance that they're going to get the ball into the right spot on the floor. So they may not be able to or wanting to go double-team against Kevin Hervey. That could be a real problem. But they're at home. It's on a Saturday night in the Marriott Center. It's a real opponent. And this will be Texas Arlington's second game of the year. They've got every reason in the world. The Mavericks, they've got every reason in the world to believe that they're going to be just fine. They were just fine last year, and BYU lost 2 of its 3 best players coming into this year. This is a big show-me game for me. You know, a 5-point win over Loyola Marymount at home, as BYU fans, we know sometimes you never know what you're getting from Loyola Marymount. Sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it's really bad. And it comes from game to game. It's not even season by season. It's just game by game. Sometimes they're good. I don't know what sort of performance it was for Loyola Marymount. This could mean several things, but I think there's plenty of reason to be worried about what Texas Arlington presents.
No doubt. This week is against two teams that are not like – they're kind of trap games to me because they're not – neither of these teams are going to be big-time resume wins. But you've got to find a way to win teams like this, to beat teams like this, if you're going to make the tourney.
If they go 0-2,
it's bad.
They're probably...
then we kind of know...
They're already really behind the eight ball in terms of being able to make the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
If they go 1-1, they're fine.
Yep.
They're okay. 2-0, it's like, wow, we're going to really move on. So it's actually kind of nice to have this early in the season such a huge opportunity to learn really what we have in this team. If they go 0-2, Tosh, NIT is
trouble.
The ceiling.
Yeah,
maybe.
We're in trouble. If they go, these teams are teams you have to beat if you're going to be a tourney team.
Okay, All right. Well, that is it for this episode of CougarCast. BYU basketball's back. I love watching the hoops team. There's a lot of things to be optimistic as they go forward. They run the floor well. They always play kind of an exciting brand of ball. And so because of that, it's always fun and exciting to see. And this week will really tell us what we have.
Yep.
And with that, Tosh, you have anything else?
Let's hope they play some defense.
Okay. Take care. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!